from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I just want to say, look, I'm genuinely happy for the success that Tua's had, and I really wish him nothing but the best. You know, player relationships are very important to me. I think that's kind of the foundation of coaching. And I got into coaching because I was impacted as a young guy by my high school coaches, my college coaches, my going all the way to Pop Warner. I got into coaching because, you know, I want to make that same kind of impact, positive impact, pour into young people, help them become, you know, as KO says all the time, the best versions of themselves. That's really my goal always in coaching.
Brian Flores. So he kind of responded to what Tua Tagovailoa had said about Brian Flores.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of a, you know, say a dust up. Miami is being relitigating Miami, whether or not Brian Flores was a good coach, his record versus Mike McDaniels. I saw a tweet from Ben Volin of the Boston Globe I wanted to bring up on this topic. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Happy Wednesday. Tua was always an interesting conversation. I think Bills fans like to either get after that guy.
I think he is the most interesting
non-Bill
for me ever. Because it's, he puts up numbers.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't look good to me ever. He doesn't, like, it's just, there's so many different ways to attack it and to look at his career. Even the way, I mean, the Flores part of this, the way it began was interesting, right?
Yep.
Who drafts a rookie quarterback in the top five and then puts him in and pulls him out, puts him in and pulls him out in his rookie year like that? Nobody does that.
That's right. Guys,
and that's how we get to the Flores story.
That's right. That's how we get to the Flores story. And as you say it that way, let's pretend something else happened. Let's just, I mean, this is cherry picking to a point, but let's move around the years of his career in order.
Okay.
He gets drafted fifth overall. Mike McDaniels is his head coach. He goes in and he leads the league in passing.
Okay.
Then Brian Flores coaches him and he goes in and out and in and out and in and out. What would you think about Brian Flores?
I'd think he probably... I'd probably think he ruined a good quarterback.
Yeah, right. Think he can't coach?
I might,
how did you ruin this quarterback?
Probably. I might land in the same spot, which is that Mike McDaniel's a wizard.
Okay, sure. You might get there.
Yeah.
So
maybe.
Ben Volin pointing out, like, Flores went 10-6 and 9-8 with a rookie and second year quarterback forced on him.
Yeah.
And he writes, this is a point you make a lot about Tua that I love to push back on. Ben Volin writes, it's not like Flores was the only one down on Tua. The Dolphins owner tried to replace him with Brady in 2022.
Yeah.
To which I would say, why does anybody act like that is any that has any relevance? How many quarterbacks would have been replaced by Tom Brady in 2022? Is it 15? The owner tried to replace you, right? Because he thought you stunk because you played for Brian Flores. Brian Flores did not know how to develop a young quarterback. Is not a, you know, whoever his offensive coordinator was. This is what we get to the conversation about how much credit does McDermott get for the Bills' offense and Allen's growth. We maybe don't give him enough. He got in the right guys that were here to get that job done. And in Miami, Flores, whoever's running that offense, bringing Fitz in as a guy that could go in, like, that's not the best way to develop a quarterback. We say this about Mac Jones. How did Mac Jones' development go in New England? He had Matt Patricia as an offensive coordinator and Joe Judge. Like, who you give these young players matters quite a bit. Sure, there's going to be a talent, a baseline of talent you're trying to work with.
Mm-hmm.
But the Dolphins owner tried to replace Tua, right? Who wouldn't do that as the guy doesn't look good? Then he became one of the league's most prolific passers. You want to point out the warts? Go for it. But he's actually reasonably good.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Dolphins owner gives him like $200 million.
Remember, Flores didn't, though. Flores, the story of his lawsuit, which, by the way, the lawsuit is why Tua is still the Dolphins quarterback. If he never drops that lawsuit, Brady goes to Miami. Tua's not a Dolphin anymore. If Flores doesn't file the lawsuit, Tua is not a Dolphin today.
Well, this is where we get to the ifs again. And if Tua had Mike McDaniel first and led the league in passing, they wouldn't have sought Tom Brady.
Right.
Although maybe they would because Stephen Ross is a Michigan guy and, you know, go for a Michigan
guy. Remember, Flores left that boat.
Mm-hmm.
Flores wasn't the guy trying to...
He knew it was tampering.
Yeah, because remember, that was a whole scheme. That was Brady had a year left in Tampa. That was like a whole elaborate scheme to get him part ownership and then get him out of his final year contract-wise with Tampa to get him to the Dolphins. Also, by the way, remember, that owner was willing to take on Deshaun Watson. He flew to meet with him. So, but right, different phase of his career.
All of that is before.
Yes, it's before he took off.
You see that he can be at least serviceably good, get you in contention for your division. No, they haven't won the division, but they've been in contention for it.
Yep.
They lost it in week 18 last year at home with a bunch of injuries. And, you know, of course, the Bills got the job done.
I don't know. Like, the record's similar. The numbers are way better. Way, way, way better. Like, two more yards per attempt for Tua than when he was with Flores and then whoever their offensive coordinators were. Remember, they didn't even have a full-time one. They had, like, three different ones once.
To me, it's a little bit like the Goff story. Goff gets drafted one overall and looks like a complete bust with Jeff Fisher. Horrible. This guy's worthless.
Yep.
Sean McVay gets the job. Oh, you know what? He can play. And then McVay decides, I still need somebody better. And he goes out and gets Stafford.
Right.
So
that's... Well, I guess we're not going to get it now.
We're not going to get that.
Maybe Goff signed the big contract.
That's right.
And then within a couple years, McVay went, I need somebody better. And I'm wondering if that shoe ever drops for Mike McDaniel. Does he ever get to, he's good, but I need somebody better. I need somebody better. And maybe, you know, I don't think Flores was right in his way of treating Tua, even if he thought he was not a great quarterback, or if he just didn't want to deal with a rookie quarterback in the first place. But so I'm not defending his handling of the situation at all. But I don't know. Like I could get to the same spot a lot, which is I don't think I'd want that to be my quarterback because I think I'm going to hit my head in the ceiling. And I'm going to want to replace him eventually. And I'm wondering if the Dolphins are going to get there within a couple of years, even with the new contract.
Yeah, they very well might. And like it's worth pointing out, like you just said, Goff signed the extension and then never played under it for the Rams. He was traded before it even kicked in.
Right.
Which, it's another one of those things about the salary cap. Like, oh, here's $150 million for this guy, and he never played it down.
He played after signing the contract, but the contract didn't kick in by the time he... Yeah.
Yep.
Right. And Goff, like... He's limited in some ways, but what's the story on how they've protected his limitations? They've built like one of the best offensive lines in football. Because I don't know if this is true anymore. Like last year, I guess this was different, but I remember the point on Goff was he can't deal with pressure. Like don't let him deal with pressure. I guess he got better at that maybe, but in LA that was a part of the story, and the Lions just built him the best offensive line in the league, so it didn't matter. And what did the Dolphins do? Like what was Tua's limitation? Maybe it was he can't take hits. Or you can't have these long developing plays down the field. You can't ask him to extend stuff. And then what did McDaniel do?
Quick strike.
I'm just going to build my entire offense to be executed in 3 seconds.
Yep.
And it worked.
It has worked.
So you can build offenses around limitations. Are Tua's limitations too much?
Does the story on them change at all if they win the division? Last year, not even this year, the Bills lose in Miami in a game they won by 7 with a punt return touchdown being the difference. How different is the story? Because Miami lost the division on a tiebreaker.
Right.
Now, the reality is maybe what happens is they host a playoff game and they lose it, so it's not that different. They would have the they would have the division banner to fly, but they would still have you can't beat playoff teams. They would have beaten the Bills.
It would be different. It would be different because they would have had to beat the Bills, right? Well, not even. Let's say they don't blow it against the Titans. Remember that game? Let's say Will Levis charges back 14 down in like the final 2 minutes.
Then the final game against the Bills doesn't matter.
Yeah, the final game against the Bills doesn't matter. They don't have to beat the Bills all year, and they win the division. And then they host a playoff game. Right, how different is it? It should be different. Even if they don't win a playoff game, but they've won the division, it would feel like they can topple the Bills. And that is a big question about them right now, is do you have it in you, even a injured Bills defense, Diggs wasn't playing well, just all the problems, the coordinator change, all the problems that existed last year for the Bills. You had the league's leading passer. You still didn't get there. You still didn't win the division. There would be a belief.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
If more of a belief, I think, if they had done that, but it is probably more about the playoffs for them than it is just getting over the Bills hump. Because last year that was minus, I looked this up the other day, they were minus 111 point differential against playoff teams.
Yeah.
Last year, like, you can't have that. You gotta, even if you won the division, like, that would still be mostly true, I think. So, it would be different. But I think they have a lot to prove still in terms of, you know, the division and also what you do when you get to the playoffs. When's the last time the Dolphins won a playoff game? That has happened in my lifetime.
It's a long drought.
It's a very long drought. So I think they have a lot to prove this year.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, if you want to chime in. The other thing about the Flores Tua controversy, it doesn't even really have to be that controversial. He didn't coach Tua to Tua's liking. There are probably lots of coaches and players that might not agree on the style of coaching. The question is, did it work? Right? Flores is from the Belichick tree. He coached in a way that Belichick does. I mean, Belichick and Brady famously.
Right.
Belichick coached, it sure sounds like, from the story from Tua, this guy tells me I stink every day. Right? You're a young player.
Yeah.
Maybe you can't handle that. Maybe that's not the right approach for this player. And, you know, coaching a la carte versus who's the. Who, person to person, who's the right coach for you.
Yeah.
That's how Belichick treated Brady in year 12. Oh, yeah. And that's what drove Brady out of New England, was he got tired of it. But,
it took 20 years for him to get tired of it.
They did a ton of winning.
Yeah.
They did a ton of winning. And you will get plenty of players that after their career will say, Marty talked about this. Marty Baron, sorry, just dropping Marty. This is an NHL reference. But Marty talked about this when we talked about Lindy, that there were times he hated him, mm-hmm. but he felt like he made him better. So for Tua to say it and to tell his side of the story, that's fine. That's your side of it. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to mean Brian Flores is a terrible coach. It might limit his ability to be a head coach again with a young quarterback. Yeah. If I owned a team, I might worry about what he's going to do to a young quarterback. Is he going to, you know, kill the kid's confidence? But Flores up there with Harrison Phillips talking about how he's such a great coach and they're so happy to have him. This kind of goes back to the McDermott piece, Tyler Dunn's piece about McDermott, which was not all negative. It was just some players feel this way and some players feel that way. And, you know, you're gonna make people mad along the way. Do you win? What are your results? That's part of the Flores lawsuit. He had decent results.
Yeah, he had a winning record.
He had a winning record. He had decent results. He had a quarterback that maybe he didn't fit well with, but he got wins. He got results. He was not some 4-12 coach that showed he couldn't do it.
Yeah. Isn't the job of a coach, though, like, in part, now especially more than ever, to figure out who needs to be coached in which ways?
Well, the number one job of a coach is to win.
Yeah.
If you win and every one of your players hates you, you...
But to win, you got to
You might not last that long, but you'll get more jobs. Like, you win.
But to win, you got to get the best out of your quarterback.
Sure. And
if you're coming in every day and killing his confidence, you're not going to hurt your chances of winning, aren't you?
That depends. If you're coming in every day and telling him he stinks and that kills his confidence and then he stinks, you're not going to last. If you tell him he stinks and he gets mad at you and he plays great, you won. The job is just to win. I mean, Belichick is, again, to a fault, the Belichick story is here. Isn't this why Josh McDaniels coaches the way that he does? I mean, he's hated. His players hate him.
Right.
And a lot of the Belichick tree sounds like players talking about, this guy thinks he's Belichick. Matt Patricia is this.
Yeah.
The story's on Matt Patricia in Detroit. They hated him. If he had gone 15-2, all right, I'll hate you Monday through Saturday, and then on Sunday we won. And then I'll come in and maybe I'll hate you, but that's the idea. To a point, the Sabres are hoping this works. Are they not?
That's how they talked at the end of the season.
Granato too much.
Yeah.
We need someone. I want to be coached hard. Some of these players with the Sabres are, again, like, there's a spectrum here from killing a guy's confidence to demanding more of him. I mean, the Sabres are hoping for a little bit more Brian Flores flavor for their players, whether it's the young guys or the veterans. Mm-hmm. That's what Kevin Adams is looking for, is a little bit more, you want to call it sandpaper. We use that in hockey a lot, right? Sandpaper from the coach. A little more coaching hard, a little more accountability, whatever it might be. So I'm not on Flores. His style would never work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it works for some players and doesn't work for others. And for a young quarterback, I think that might be the spot where it's least likely to work.
Yes.
Careful what you do there. Careful what you do. Because he's the most important player in your organization. Your success is most tied in, of course, to a quarterback. That one might be the toughest part, is the player that he did it to.
Yeah.
But it's not unusual to hear a coach rides a player. Isn't Kyer Elam's story this year, they got a new coach?
Mm-hmm.
And the last coach might have ridden him way too hard.
Mm-hmm.
And just let him loosen up. Let him get a fresh start here. Maybe that worked for other defensive backs on the team, but it didn't work for Elam.
Mm-hmm. That's where I get to the, like, I think you want to change it up. You want to know who, like, Tua, I think what you've learned about Tua is Tua needs a certain style of coaching. And there are other guys that can be coached hard. And I don't know, are they talking about that in Miami today? They're probably not. They're probably just blasting Flores repeatedly. But you now know. You know how you can't coach Tua like Brady. But that's fine, right? Like, if McDaniel has the secret sauce for how to do it, he's learned, and combine that with your style of offense, then you've learned how to get the most out of him. It's really good, though. It's really interesting.
It is juicy. The Dolphins have been interesting for a couple years now.
Yeah. again, Tua also is talking more this offseason than he ever has before. He was a quiet dude. He got mad last year that people found out he got married.
He got paid.
He got paid.
Isn't that it?
He got paid. He was a little more vocal even before that happened, though.
Yeah, but then he got paid.
The quarterback market.
But then he got paid and walked out to practice and said, they showed me the money.
And he yelled into a megaphone.
Yeah, I don't need to say the money changed him deeply, but it might have given him the confidence to tell a story.
Yeah.
And not worry about, like, the owner's going to hold it against him.
Man, I am very interested in their season. Who do they open with? The Dolphins open with Jacksonville.
And then they play the Bills in 4 days.
And then the Bills in week two. They got the Dolphins. Prepare for this. The Bills, if the Bills do not beat them in week two,
they're going to run away, right?
They're going to get out ahead. Their opening schedule: home Jacksonville, home Bills, at Seattle, home Titans, at New England.
You skipped. Oh, yeah, right. And then Colts, Cardinals, who are not playoff teams of last year.
No, right. Like, okay, so last year, the idea of why the Dolphins aren't for real and the numbers on it is, well, they can't beat playoff teams. Who are they playing that's a playoff team in the first 2 months of the season? The Bills. Right? In their first, what is it? 8 games. The first half of their season, the Bills are the only team that made the playoffs last year that they play. That's it. So when do we learn about them? You know, if you want to hold that out, hold on to that as a crutch for why they're not for real, you got to wait till the end of the year. Yeah. When they play Green Bay and San Francisco and Houston and Cleveland and the Jets twice. You know, you really look at the totality of it. It's kind of an easy schedule.
Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. We'll get a break in. Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast. When we return, the big controversy about whether or not Keon Coleman should have caught a ball in a preseason game made it to Coleman. He answered that question. So did Allen. We'll talk to Joe about that and other things, of course. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Some point later today, we have to have a grand celebration about the NHL GM that has announced that competing with other GMs is okay. Huge moment for the league. Competitive GMs. I mean, who would have thought in our lifetime we could have seen it? A GM that said he would compete with other GMs by signing offer sheets. Great moment. All right, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Joe Marino on the Bills' performance in Pittsburgh, the injuries, all of it coming up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.